one of the pastors here at Sierra Community Church, a friend of Janice's. Janice came to church here for, according to her daughter Amber, we were trying to figure it out, about 10 years, back from the early 90s, maybe into the new millennium. So she's a well-known commodity here. I want you to just take a moment and look around at the size of the volume of people in this room. We're about 350 people right now, maybe more. That doesn't happen when people my age pass on very often, I can assure you. And I think it's testimony to Janice and who she is. Certainly no surprise to me. In a word, she is a very special lady. I hadn't had much conversation with Janice in the last 10 years, and yet when I got the phone call from Amber, it was a voicemail, and I was in Southern California over the Thanksgiving holiday when I got the call and listened to the message, and I hear a lot of bad news. When I heard that news, I stopped and almost dropped. I know you're here because Janice touched your life. And in some cases, for those of you at Harris, almost daily for decades. And I think in a way that makes your passing all the more hard and difficult because you take for granted, you know, those smiles and those embraces and oftentimes when you're in the workplace, the people you see day in and day out, and you just don't expect something this sudden to take them from you. We're going to honor Janice's memory this evening, and we're not going to do so in the vacuum of no hope. I trust you're coming, and let me thank you for being here today on behalf of the family, on behalf of Dave and Amber and Lacey and Micey. Thanks for taking the time to show up today. It means a lot. And I trust tonight will be, and today will be of great encouragement to you as you deal with this loss and this sorrow. I am reminded at times like this of a psalm that King David wrote. It's a famous psalm. It's the 139th psalm. And in there, David is waxing poetic about God. And he's just thinking about him, and he's writing about who he is. And David had this real personal relationship with God, and he wrote many of the psalms that kind of speak of this relationship that he had by faith with God. And he wrote these words in the middle of the 139th psalm. He says, "You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, how I was sculpted from nothing into something, and like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you." And here's the verse that has always jumped out at me at a time like this. "All the days of my life were prepared in your sight before I had lived one day." That is a big God that David was speaking to. It is he that will give us comfort in the midst of loss. Let's pray. Father, boy, obviously, your girl Janice touched a lot of people's lives, evidenced by the crowd here today. Thank you for her. Thank you for her faithfulness, for her love, for the spirit that she carried into everyone's life. As we honor her today, Lord, I pray we'd be encouraged. I pray we might find hope. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to have some special folks come up. First, Jim Whately and Jamie Ferguson would like to say a few things.
I'm Jim Whately, Janice's oldest brother, and I have a few things that I would like to convey today. Yes, Janice was my wonderful sister. She was kind to everyone that she knew. She loved so many people just as family. She had a smile that radiated with warmth. She had a voice that was soft and loving. She had a laugh that was sweet and sometimes contagious. She had a sense of humor that would keep you chuckling throughout the day. And we blame it all on my mom. She gave it to all of us. And mom is still that way, 94 and still going strong. I have a couple of things about Janice that probably not too many people know, but when Janice was very young, about 3 or so, my mom said, she had a special name for all the animals that had 4 legs. And so one day, as we were driving with our folks, Janice standing in, I think, in the front seat, she pointed out the window and said, "Button, button, button, button," as the cows were in the field. That was her name for 4-legged animals. Later on, as she grew up, Janice and my brother, Charlie, they had a joke they played on each other. Every time that they would end up in the same place overnight with a suitcase, my mom's for Christmas or whatever, one of them would go home with a small milk carton in their luggage, and the next time it was their turn to get caught. Another thing we did most often when we were taking, mom wanted to have our picture taken with her, we would be gathered, and Janice and Charlie and I, we would make a funny face when we took the picture, and when mom found out, she made us take another picture with a real nice smile. Then Janice, after high school, had a couple of jobs and ended up working for Harris Taub, during which time she married and had 2 wonderful daughters, Amber and Lacey. After they were on their own, Janice reunited with the high school heartthrob, Dave Simpson. And about 7 years ago or so, they were married, and they were truly soulmates who were as happy as any couple I've ever seen. And my wish is that all of us could be that way all the time. It was just awesome. The last thing that I would like to share with you is that Janice, about 1975 or 6, she and a girlfriend named Carol became believers in Christ. I had been talking to Janice. I was a new believer, and they were listening, and the Lord touched them. Anyway, they attended a little storefront church in Reno. In Tahoe. I went there one time that I can remember. And later on, she helped at this church in Sunday school and attended here, as the pastor said, for probably 10 years. I will always miss my lovely sister, and I trust I will see her in heaven. If you want to see her again, take the time to make sure your own walk with the Lord is true.
My daughter Jamie here.
That's kind of hard to follow. Janice was born March 10th, 1951, to Claire and Chuck, and she was the cherished only daughter with her 2 older brothers, Jim and Charlie. In her younger years, her family moved many times, primarily in California, but also spent some time in Idaho. They settled in Fremont, California when Janice was a teen, and she went through high school at Washington High, where she had many close friends, which she has kept in contact with to this day. This was about the time I came into her life. I loved having an aunt as cool as she was. Even when I was very young, I wanted to be around her all of the time, and I wanted to be like her. She was generous, loving, happy, and by far, very beautiful. As many people have said in Facebook posts over the past couple of weeks, she was the kindest, most genuine person. She always made friends whenever, wherever she was. And I remember not too long ago, and I know she did this every shift she worked, and those of you that worked with her know this. She asked the people that are at her tables at Harrah's where they're from, you know, what they do. She is always asking questions. She wants to get to know people. And this particular young man that she asked on this day said he was from Rio Vista. She told him, oh, I have a niece that works in Rio Vista at a bank. And he said, oh, hey, so does my mom. They found out talking that her niece and his mom worked right next to each other. So every time that Jay came up to Harrah's to, you know, do his gambling and have fun, he would look and make sure that he saw Janice and said hi and talked to her. It was just, she loved people so much that things like that would make her day. Once you were her friend, that connection never went away. We had so much fun together. When we were younger, we would spend time just hanging out and talking about our lives, what we were looking forward to doing as we grew older, our families. Even after she moved here to Tahoe, my family would come to visit often, and I would stay for days and get to meet all of her friends. It would make me feel so grown up. She raised two beautiful daughters, Amber and Lacey. She was so proud of them. They will continue on with her legacy of kindness, love, and generosity because of her example. They each have grown into their own person, but you can see Janice in different ways in both of them. In the late 90s, one of our cousins came to visit from the East Coast, and we all came up with an idea to plan a trip so we could spend some time getting to know one another better and see some neat places. There were six of us, and we ended up doing seven trips over the course of 15 years. We all had memorable times, especially Janice and I. We were fortunate we got to bunk together on every trip. On our San Diego trip, she and I were just relaxing and visiting in our bedroom, and we got up to go see what everybody else was doing. When she sat up, the string from her sweatshirt kind of went up into her nose. We were laughing so hard. We were rolling on the floor. Everybody else ran into the room to find out what was so funny. We couldn't even stop laughing long enough to tell them. But just from us laughing, all six of us were just rolling laughing. And all of our trips were like this. We laughed so hard and shared so many family memories and stories. These trips were wonderful. We always anticipated the trips with so much enthusiasm and enjoyed ourselves so thoroughly. Janice and I grew so much closer over this time. I couldn't ask for a better aunt, sister, best friend, and traveling buddy. She was all of those and more. She was a part of my heart, and I will miss her forever. I recently read the following passage. When we lose someone we love, we must learn not to live without them, but to live with the love they left behind. I love you, Janice. I also have one of our cousins that went on the trips with us asked me to read this. She says, Janice, first of all, I want you to know my heart is broken for all of you. I love Janice and will miss her always. But this is a celebration of life. Janice spent many summers with us in Massachusetts growing up. She was so much fun that I always look forward to our time together. As teenagers, we went to see Grassroots, which were popular at the time. I've never heard of them. it was also a dance, and Janice's sandal broke, and she couldn't dance. I never saw so many guys get shot down in one night. She was so beautiful, and she didn't know it. We always had the connection of music we loved, and she would bring her music along on our cousins' trips. And we would laugh and dance around like a couple of kids. All my cousins would agree that Janice was the light of our trips. She called me often, usually on her way to work. My husband Mike always knew when it was Janice because I was laughing. I will miss her smile, her sense of humor, and her unique voice. I will never understand why this has happened, and I don't think life is fair. But I know that she was a blessing to anyone that knew her. I feel privileged to say that I knew her, loved her, and she was the best cousin and friend anyone could have. Love you always, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is one of the hardest things that I have to do, and please forgive me if I stumble. In my family, we call Janice Janie Poo. We called her this with love and affection, and as you all know her is to love her. I met Janice when our children were very young. Janice somehow decided that we were going to be friends. On my part, I was not so sure. This darling, sweet girl was too friendly, too much like June Cleaver, and I wasn't sure it was a good fit. At first, when she would call, I would try to avoid her. Since then, we have laughed many times about this. She always tried to persuade me to go to church. I reluctantly decided to go. I am so glad we did, as this is the very church where we raised our children. So that is how our love affair started. We would talk on the phone for hours. Janice loved the phone, as most of you know. And in those days, there were no cell phones. Our marathon conversations drove our kids and husbands crazy. They couldn't understand why we needed to talk so much if we were going to see each other later. I love the nurturing environment of Janice and our friends. We were walking partners. We learned so much about each other on these walks. Janice loved chocolate, phones, people, shopping, and mostly chocolate. If you went anywhere with Janice, you would see someone. She would see someone and start a conversation. Later, I would ask who she was talking to. She would answer, "I don't know." Just someone with a question. Then she would tell me the person's life story and how she now had a new friend. This would happen so often, sometimes I would just leave her. She, being such a good-natured soul, would find me and say, "Where were you, you freaking idiot?" And then we would laugh about it. We always spoke about how quickly life sped by, wishing it would slow down. We would continue our lives thankful for our blessings. Janice gave all of us many wonderful memories: Bible studies, slumber parties, limo rides around the lake, boating, and spending most of our summers on the beach. The beach gave us a place to be together with all our kids, watching them grow up, and of course, talk. Our children are still amazing friends, which is a blessing for us. As we got older and we would worry about our children, we hoped our children would place us in the same old people's home so when we forgot each other, we could meet each morning and reintroduce each other and have a great time. Her love for two daughters, Amber and Lacey, was so endearing, and she gave them both the freedom to be who they are and loved them for all their unrestricted spirit. Micey, her granddaughter, was a gift that she loved so much and was planning on leaving our home in Lake Tahoe to be closer and watch her grow. Dave was the love of her life, and Janice laughed and enjoyed herself so much after they found each other again. Sometimes I felt that she had reverted to her youth. I am so glad Janice got this portion of love she yearned and deserved. But I cry for this also, because this was just the beginning for them. And in the end, we all want what we want, but the Lord had other plans. We have a special, wonderful woman who loved us all. Janice made all of us feel like her best friend. We probably have 25 best friends here today. Why? We might forget what she said. We might forget what she has done. But we will never forget how she made us feel. Janice was that person for me and for so many others. As so many have said, her smile, her beautiful smile, her laughter was the memory that we will remember. I read this poem yesterday, and I thought of Janice. I loved it. It's called Memories in Unknown Author. I thought of you with love today, but that is nothing new. I thought of you yesterday and days before, too. I think of you in silence. I often speak your name. All I have are memories and your picture in a frame. Your memory is my keepsake, with which I will never part. God has you in his keeping. I have you in my heart.
Can we turn the lights down a little bit? No. Well, I am Janice's husband, David, and my full name is Willis David Simpson, in case somebody didn't know this. But so if you can't, I was going to say, if you don't understand or I'm not loud enough, then you say, what you talking about, Willis? Okay, all right. So yeah, let me get my little piece of paper out of here first here. First of all, I want to say this is pretty amazing. I think there's 5,000 people here. You know, I'm not 350, you know, really. And I am just touches my heart so much that there's so many people here from Tahoe, all the community, from her coworkers, my closest friends from high school. There's a whole bunch of you out there, and Janice's friends, and also from my company or Costco, the gang back there, and friends in Gardnerville and Minden. And I appreciate everybody being here. It's really just unbelievable. And by the time I got two hearts right here right now, when I walk off the stage, it'll be one. Janice will be in my heart, which she already is, but that's how that'll be. So I just wanted to say that, and gosh, you just never know. You never know in life, and I think it would be a whole lot easier if he reached down and all of a sudden he says, Janice, I need you up here, you know, and make it a lot simpler. And she goes, for what? I'm not ready. Not quite ready yet, you know, and she says, well, I got a really heavy poker game going on. And I got a lot of money riding on it, so I think you're the best person for the job, right? So, I still don't want to go, you know. Well, we all know that just doesn't work that way. So it's really, you know, you just got to hug and, you know, and kiss the one you love in the morning when you leave, because you just, you know, never know. So I'm going to take you through a little journey that Janice and I went through, and it started way back, actually. I think she was 3 and I was 5. Oh, no, it was she was 15 and a half and I was 18. That's we're a lot older, you know. And I kind of did a crazy thing, and some people know, and you know, was at the last Beatles concert and jumped the fence, thought I could get Ringo's signature, you know, and Janice was there with another guy, and, you know, he went, well, that's David there, man. He's got some, for not a better word, some balls. And so then within a couple weeks, we were dating. Well, we hadn't started a date. She thought I was pretty cool. One of the stupidest things I ever done. So we arranged a little rendezvous, you might say. And she was supposed to be at a girlfriend's. And the other girlfriend was supposed to be at hers, you know. And so anyhow, me and 3 other folks picked her kids, you know, picked her up. And we went on a nice little trip in my dad's van to San Francisco. And then we went to Santa Cruz. Then we came back, you know, about 6 in the morning. Janice had her key and walked up to Mom's door then. And, you know, very quietly opened the door. And who was waiting right at the door? I better get out of here really quick, you know. So that was... But I guess she, you know, Claire thought that I, my long hair and my beard, I was cute. I don't know. So anyhow, she let me date her. So that, you know, that went on for about 3 years, not quite 3 years, but it was wonderful. And then it was time to move on. And, you know, I went on and, you know, married a gal named Brenda and had a beautiful daughter, Erin, and my son out there, Derek, as you all know, Janice moved to Tahoe, and so, you know, 34 years later, believe it or not, my good buddy Julio, wherever he is out there, it's your fault, you know. He kind of hooked us up a little bit, you know, over the internet, and we started talking, and you know, that was pretty cool, you know. And then I came down from the Bay Area, or from Washington, and with my other friend Pat White and Julia, we had a rendezvous at the Beacon over here, and it was really a lot of fun. And I kind of walked away from there going, God, what if, you know? No, that can't happen. That won't happen, you know. And 2 years later, we made a connection, you know, and it was great, you know. And what can I say? Yeah, I moved down from Washington to Tahoe here, and got this all down here, so you know. But yeah, we had it was my 60th birthday party, you know, and I decided to do a little special little thing that day, you know, and with some friends that were there, as well as the family, and Amber and Erin was there, and. And got everybody in a circle, and decided that, or I knew I didn't have to decide, that I was going to propose to her. So it was a big shock, you know, and it was pretty wonderful. And then Mom's, you know, stepped up a little bit, and she says, I thought I got rid of you a long time ago. She said that, you know, and then we all laughed. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. And so, yeah, it's, you know, it's been probably the best 10 years of my life, these last 10 years, and it's just really unfortunate these things happen. And she was my soulmate, my best friend, my wife, and, yeah, she will be missed for sure, you know. And just to conclude this, because we're going to let some other folks talk maybe here, I want to show you, and this is how I want you to all remember. I don't think I'm going to be able to get all the way in the back there, you know, but as we go today, my son made this T-shirt.
This was us in 1967.
So finally, I'm going to do something here. I want everybody to stand up in this church. Okay? And we're all going to, on the count of three, we're going to yell and we're going to scream and we're going to clap so she can hear us. All right? So, you know, just to show your appreciation to her and how she touched everybody in this place right here. Okay? Don't be shy. Okay, one, two, three.
I know this love of mine. Bright are the stars that shine, dark is the sky. I know this love of mine will never die, and I love her.
After the girls come up and speak, we're going to open the microphone up to those of you that would like to come up and share a brief thought about Janice. In a room this size, we could be here all night. So those of you that feel ordained and appointed to come forward, by all means, please do. And just keep it as brief as you can, because I'm sure many would like to speak. But I'm going to have Amber and Lacey and Macy come up. And share with you.
Hi, do you want to read it? Want to read from your thing?
Sure.
No, actually, no. No,
okay.
I don't need it.
Okay.
I brought this water bottle that my Grammy always used to carry around with her. I don't know. Can I have this? was just so nice. I don't know what to say. I'm gonna read from something that I wrote once my grandma died.
The last time my mom came to visit us in Nevada City, she brought this message in a bottle, message from California. She said she'd had it around for a long time and she thought Micey might like to have it. So it was blank, this piece of paper, and the day we found out, Micey brought it out of her room and I said, oh, you should write Grammy a message on it. And so this is what she wrote.
Hi, Grammy. I love you. You're not here anymore. You're in heaven. I want you to know how much we loved you and we still love you. It was such a surprise when you died. Everything you did with love. I love you with all my heart. Your love and compassion with everything and everyone brought me so much joy. I love you, Grammy.
Where's my thing? I didn't help her with that at all. As with at Mom and Dave's wedding, I'll be speaking on behalf of me and Lacey will be crying. So you all knew my mom, and so I know that you all had the same experience of her that we did, which is just an experience of love and lightheartedness and fun and laughter. But you can imagine how amazing it was to have that experience channeled through a maternal relationship. She just could not have been a better mom, and I've always said that. You know, when I get to know new people and we talk about our moms, I could not have a better mom. Just no issues, no problems. It's all love, all the time. So supportive. I think that it's very possible that having her as our mom is the biggest blessing in our lives. Just the single most important thing that ever happened to us was to be born to her and to grow up with her. Radiant sunshine love beaming at us every day. Delicia said this a bit earlier, and when she came over the day we all found out, she said she was my best friend, but I think everyone thought she was her best friend. And then I realized, like, oh yeah, I thought she was my best friend too. and she was. And she was just such a friendly person. Delicia also mentioned the phone calls. Lacey and I both have so many memories of her just being on the phone forever. And there were a number of times when she would finally get off and we'd say, who was it? And she would say, oh, it was the wrong number. We both remember, like, just melting down, even when we were older kids, in Rayleigh's too, because she would see someone she knew or meet someone new and just keep talking and talking, and we'd be like, please, can we leave? Please? We used to joke in high school that our friends really came over just to hang out with Mom, because they would sit around the dining room table and just talk until the early morning hours, and we'd go to bed. you know, she really cared for all of our friends as her own, and even the kids we went to school with who she didn't know. You know, we all partied pretty hard in high school growing up here, and she had a standing policy that if we ever needed a ride home from a party, we just call her, and she would come get us, and she did. She did that many times for me and brought kids she did not know home. And later, once we all turned 21 and our friends would go party at the casinos, if she got off work at 2 and she saw them, she'd go find them and say, do you need a ride home? And she'd take them home. And I remember she'd also always pick up hitchhikers, especially our age, because she's like, I'm not going to let those kids walk on the street. It's cold and nighttime. And she wanted to just take care of everyone and make sure everyone was okay. One of my favorite mom stories is a Lacey memory. I don't remember this happening to me, but Lacey remembers that when she would be little and in trouble, and dad, our dad was really into spanking. He thought that was, you know, a good way to teach kids lessons. And mom wasn't so much. And I only remember him spanking me. I don't remember mom doing it. But Lacey remembers when, you know, dad would determine that mom needed to do it, like toughen her up a little bit, probably. And so mom would take Lacey into the bedroom, and mom would just clap her hands really loud and tell Lacey to say, ow, for everyone. She couldn't hurt us. You know, she would not hurt us. you know, I've tried to think of, like, some epic memory for this, but all of our memories are good ones, just every single one. It was all love and fun and laughter all the time with mom. And you know, a lot of people say that it's so hard when someone passes suddenly because there are things unsaid, but none of us in the family, no one who was close to mom, feels like there was anything unsaid. We all knew where we stood. We all said, I love you, every time we hung up the phone. We told each other all the time what we meant to each other. And so there's a peace in our hearts. But you know, it is hard when someone passes suddenly, but there's also a profound blessing in it when someone goes before their time, because the lesson of their life gets deeply embedded in the hearts of everyone who knew them. And the lesson of my mom's life was just love. It's so simple, but it's so true, and it's the only truth. And we all feel that so deeply, and I look forward to making the rest of my life an expression of my mom's love. I love you. Yeah. And we love you all and are so glad that you're all here. It feels really good.
Well, I have to say that of all the people in this room, I knew Janice the longest. See, we were born on the same day, in the same hospital, and the same doctor delivered us. So we spent this night in the world together in the nursery, and I'm sure our moms were maybe roomies together. But I knew Janice in high school, and then really got to know her after high school, probably at your place, Dave. And we traveled across the United States together. Our destination was Rockport, Massachusetts, and in a red Volkswagen bus. There's three of us girls, and we slept in the back. We put a mattress in the back of the bus, and every night we slept in that little bus. And after that is when I moved to Tahoe, and about a year later, Janice came up, and we worked at the front desk together. I started off at Harrah's as a maid, and then at the front desk, and then became a blackjack dealer. And Janice and I also accepted the Lord together at the same day. And we just hold a very special friendship, a bond. We're many miles apart, you know, later, but we always had that love. And I remember one thing with Macy when she was born, and I'd say, oh, I'm so jealous. And she said, you should be. She said, it is the best thing in the world to have grandkids. And she was just an absolutely very, very special person. We were going to, because we're the same age, 64, we were retiring at the same time. So it's just so tough, you know, but just loved Janice as everybody else here does.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crane, and this is Sue Vargas, Joanne Sellingslow, Margaret McFadden, and Beth Diggle, and we're all girlfriends of Janice's from high school. I know there's many more of high school friends out there. So amazing. We are a blessed group because most, if not all of us, have maintained our friendship for the last 50 years. Susan was the first to meet Janice when she moved to Fremont as a freshman in high school. Being a new kid and not knowing anyone was hard, but remembers that Janice was friendly and welcoming, and they became friends immediately. Janice had the best smile and laugh, and in fact got best smile of our senior class. She was also elected the Valentine's sweetheart of our school. And of course, she was a cheerleader. She was the epitome of the California girl. Long blonde hair, twinkling green eyes, a summer glow, and a dazzling smile. She always had had a great and unique sense of humor. She loved being funny, and she loved to make people laugh, even if it was at her own expense. I asked her once if she laid awake at night trying to think of funny things to say or do, and she said yes, she did. She was also very loving and compassionate and always there for you in the tough times. We were in high school in the 60s and lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it was such an amazing time. Friday nights, we went to our high school's dances, football games, or basketball games. On Saturday nights, we spent many memorable times going to concerts at the Fillmore in Winterland and other great venues, and listened to so many great bands like Cream, The Doors, Jefferson Airplane, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and so many others. We piled into David's white van with no seat belts. Were there even seats? With Pat and Gary and Michael, just to name a few. We would just get as many kids in there as we could. We also spent lots of fun times going to Santa Cruz, watching the guys surf, laying in the sun, and going to the boardwalk, and always, always laughing. We spent a lot of times at each other's houses. We especially loved being at Janice's house because her mom, Claire, was such a great and fun mom, and she also could make us laugh as much as Janice. She and Janice had a very special relationship. I know that Janice called her every day. Janice also went on vacation with me and my family every summer to Calaveras Big Trees in Arnold. I was the oldest of five kids, and we all got to take friends, so it was a little crazy, to say the least. After doing chores around the campsite, we went to the river and spent the day keeping an eye on the younger siblings, laying in the sun, making sure we had great tans, swimming, floating down the river on rafts, and meeting boys.
You guys didn't know that part.
Right, in between. One summer, some of those boys followed us home, much to my parents' dismay, and serenaded us from the front lawn with the song Cherishes the Word. So through the years, whenever we heard this song, we would call each other so the other one could hear it, and we'd laugh our heads off. When camping, we also spent many happy hours teasing my younger sisters and brother by putting frogs in their sleeping bags, stealing their candy, etc., and keeping my brother at bay, which was a full-time job. Janice was just part of my family. All of us lived with Janice at one time or another. We all remember that Janice always had her own room and that she slept in a sleeping bag on top of her bed because she didn't want to have to change her sheets. For years. One Christmas, Margaret remembers some guys coming over for dinner for one of Janice's specialty meals, spaghetti and French bread. Not sure if the sauce had any meat in it because there was never enough money, but they always made sure to scrape up enough money for a huge cheap bottle of wine, probably Spignata. Anyway, the guys noticed that they didn't have a tree, so they took off for a while, saying they would be right back, and returned with a Christmas tree. Everyone decorated it with the extra ornaments that they brought over, including a really cool circular, rotating, multicolored light, which was totally complemented with a huge bottle of Spignata wine. It was a bit like a Hallmark Christmas movie, but with alcohol and drugs.
It was the 60s.
Janice loved music, and in particular, live music. Beth lived with her in Mountain View, and they went out at least once a week to various venues on the peninsula and South Bay, like Chuck's Cellar, Mountain Charlie's, and the Bodega. It was a very lively music scene then, and Janice loved it. When she moved to Lake Tahoe, it made sense that her first job was to take care of the VIP music celebrities at Harrah's. During that time, Janice had also added a couple more signature dishes to her collection. This included her moist zucchini bread and more zucchini dishes, Velveeta cheese sandwiches, and oatmeal for dinner, which got them by between paychecks. Joanne remembers spending lots of fun times at Lake Tulloch, drinking slow gins, and running and sliding into a blow-up baby pool. Janice was also very helpful when they went on hikes by pushing her pregnant friend's bottom up the hill during a strenuous hike with lots of humorous comments, as you can imagine. Sometime in the late 1970s, Janice became a Christian. She was so excited about it. I remember her coming to my house and telling me and my sister, Barbara Ann, all about it. I was born and raised Catholic, so I thought I knew about Christianity. But her exuberance about reading the Bible, which I really hadn't read, and what she was learning was infectious to me. The next thing I knew, she was going to a women's Bible study group called Bible Study Fellowship, which is worldwide and a pretty intense study. Soon she talked me into going to the one where I lived in Sacramento, and pretty soon all my sisters were going too, in the towns that they lived in. It made a huge impact on my life. Plus, I know that someday I will see her in heaven. The years in life went by with marriages, our beautiful children being born, divorces, and now grandchildren. But we would always get together once a year. It is always a joyful, special time. We could talk about anything with no judgment. We shared intimate secrets that no one else knew, always supporting each other. Our time together was always filled with laughter, so much that our faces would hurt from laughing so hard. It started with meeting for dinner, but soon we realized it was not enough time, so we extended it to having a slumber party, usually at Margaret's house. We had a rule that no one could start talking about anything except the weather until everyone arrived. Janice was the connecting piece for all of us to the wider group of people that we knew from high school. She was just the best at keeping in touch with everybody. Just last summer, we had our annual slumber party at my house. We caught up on each other's lives, eating and drinking and laughing, and as always, listening to each other's hopes, joys, and struggles. Margaret remembers putting her suitcase in a bedroom when she arrived, and that Janice peeked around the doorway, her smile filling the whole room, just as it always had. They gave each other a huge hug. Working at Harrah's was a perfect fit for Janice. She had the perfect personality, friendly and funny, and of course that smile, and she could talk to anybody. She loved living in Lake Tahoe and raising her two beautiful daughters, Amber and Lacey. She also loved the wonderful friendships that she formed here. Janice was 64, going on 30. She had plans to go on enjoying life for decades. She came from good genes, and so was planning on living into her 90s, like her mom, Claire. She was so excited to be retiring and moving close to Amber and her precious granddaughter, Micey, and to add more fun chapters to her life with David. And speaking of David, how great was that when she and David, her high school sweetheart, reconnected and got married? What a fun celebration. My sister Barbara and I were reminiscing about Janice the other day. And she said that whenever she thought of Janice, the word effervescent just kept popping into her mind. So I decided to look up the definition. This is the paraphrased version. Coming from a Latin word, the original meaning literally refers to bubbles giving off gas. So effervescent makes bubbles that pop and release gas into the air, a bubbly personality. Janice was definitely effervescent. I know that many of you will appreciate this description of Janice in more ways than one. We all wanted to mention this attribute, but we're not quite sure how to do it, so there it is. I was talking to another friend about Janice the other day, and she said, wow, what a big bunch of laughter to leave the world. We feel so blessed to have had her friendship. It will not be the same without her. We will miss her smile, her infectious laugh, her sense of humor, her kindness, and her smile that lit up a room. Cherish is the word. The words from a Barbra Streisand come to mind. Memories light the corners of my mind, misty watercolored memories of the way we were. So it's the laughter we will remember whenever we remember the way we were.
Tricked you. Wow. So I'm Erin. I'm David's daughter. And I don't have quite as many memories like these gals did. but I obviously knew Janice as my stepmom. But she wasn't just my stepmom. She was my bonus mom. Is really what I called her, and my bonus sisters. I never had a sister. And I was sitting here trying to think, gosh, what memories do I have that I could share? And one that kind of crossed my mind was, I think it was in 2012, my husband and I and our two kids decided that we were going to move here, because we came here in July and thought, wow, it'd be really cool to live in Tahoe. And 2 months after we got home from our summer trip, we were here. And we were actually living in the same neighborhood as my dad, which was even cooler. And the memory is my mom did not like that we moved away from Washington. And so she came up here quite often to visit. And the funny thing is, now that you all know the kind of the history between my dad and Janice way back when, and then them separating, her doing her life, my dad doing his life, and my mom all along knew of Janice. And I'm sure your dad knew of David. So all my life, you know, or actually my kind of older life, I had always heard about her. And I ran across the picture of, I think it was that Janice's junior prom. And just the glowing smile that she always had, I don't think ever came off of her face. And I think we know that's what we'll always remember. But my memory goes like this. My mom came up to visit shortly after we moved, and not many exes will say, oh, sure, come stay at our house. You know, you don't need to stay in a hotel. Just come stay at our house. And, you know, Janice was, oh, yeah, come on over. So the night she came in on the airplane, guess who the three people were that stayed up laying on the bed together till about 4 o'clock in the morning? Was myself, my mom, and Janice. I mean, who does that? And actually, I didn't even talk the entire time. It was the two of them talking about everything that they remembered from way back when. So when I tell people about that, they're just like, that's kind of weird. But I think it's like probably the coolest thing, you know, that your parents and your, you know, parents that aren't together anymore still do those things. And they would still do those things probably forever if she was still here. My other memory that I just thought of was, I don't know if you saw the picture in the montage about when my dad was proposing to her. So I came up for my dad's 60th birthday party, and we rented a friend of the family's house on Tahoe Keys, I think it was. And he picked me up from the airport. We went to Denny's, I think, for lunch. And he said, so I got to tell you a secret. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm going to propose to Janice today. And there was not one thought through my mind that thought, oh, why are you doing that? I almost thought, what did you wait so long for, actually? So I don't know if I told him, but I probably said something like, it's about time. I was so happy because I felt like he was, you know, I love my mom, but I felt like he was finally married to the person he was supposed to be with. And so that day went on, and I was waiting forever and ever and ever for him to do it. And finally we're on the beach, and he wanted his 60th birthday to be like it was back in the 60s or something, I don't know. So he had these, you know, those MC Hammer kind of pants on and tie-dyed shirt, and I think he was the only one who actually dressed like that. Not surprising, probably. And he told everyone, we were out on the beach, and he told everyone to get out in a big circle. And, you know, I thought I was pretty neat because I was the only one that kind of knew what was going on. And he took her out in the middle, and she probably had some sort of idea what was going on. And I felt so blessed to watch my dad do this. I mean, some kids get to see their parents get remarried, but it's just that. But I felt such a connection to them doing that I don't even know how to explain it. But I just felt really that it was very special, and I was really happy that they got that second chance. And I know they were looking forward to a long, long time, being that she was going to retire in a few months, and they would get to travel up to Washington to see me a lot more. And then the last thing I just want to say is something that someone said at actually my best friend's dad's memorial a couple of years ago. They said, you know, to her mom, I am so happy that all of you are here. I can't believe how many people are here, and it shows so much support and love and care and all of that stuff. And I just hope that, you know, you realize that they don't need you just today. I mean, they're going to need this type of support forever. Because, yeah, they might, you know, get to that point where they're okay and, you know, they're not sad every day and, you know, they can kind of breathe a little bit more every day. but they're still going to need that phone call, and they're still going to need that hug. It's not just today. So I hope that everyone thinks about that, because it's really important. And I didn't plan on coming up here, but he made me. I'm just kidding.
I'm aware there are 1,000 stories out there, and a lot of discretion. It is running about 1 hour and 20 minutes at this moment. Harris's employees have graciously provided some eats for us in the back afterwards. When I'm finished, which will be brief, we're going to take a few minutes to move some of the chairs out of the way so that you can access that and maybe spend some time sharing with one another. I want to just cap this for you, if I could. Before I do that, let me just say this. Delicia, you were amazing, and I know how nervous you were. David, that is one of the most courageous things a spouse could do. Jim, Jamie, same for you. That is so hard to get up and speak in a moment like that. And, of course, you two girls, Amber, you might as well just come here and start teaching with me, because you're that at ease. I have to say, the 5 girlfriends from high school, I'm sorry, I didn't get the first name. I'll get it, I promise, because I was captivated. Thank you all for honoring Janice. If I didn't even know her, right now I would feel like I missed out on the best person I could have ever known. That's how well you guys did. Let me shift gears for just a second with you, if I could, please. Dave said, you never know. And oh my gosh, a car accident. I'm busy. Tell him to call back. Is so shocking. It's just shocking to lose someone, you know, with so much life and vibrance. I've heard it said before that life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And Janice and Dave had a lot of other plans. Years ago, I came across this, you know, my story is a lot like Janice's. You know, I came to the Lord after a very woolly childhood and young adult life in this town. And you know, I remember reading this years ago. Jesus was teaching, and he says, live like a wise person who builds their house on the rock, on a firm foundation. And then he said, when the storms hit, and I remember what jumped out at me, it really did at that moment, was he didn't say if. He said when. There's a lot of meat in that paragraph to chew on. And that made me sit up a bit and take notice, you know, for all my wishing and hoping. The Son of God was saying, troubles are coming sooner or later. A few years ago, many in this room, because there's a lot of old Tahoe in here today, sorry for the old, you may know who I'm referring to here as I tell the story. I lost a good friend here in town to cancer. He was the male version of Janice. Everywhere he went, he made an impression. He was a coach like me, just way more well-liked. Anyway, we were friends, and his wife and kids would come to church here, but I rarely saw him at church. So I asked him one day, I said, how come I never see you on Sunday? He smiled and he says, well, I'm kind of into the science thing. And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, well, I'm into science too. You know, and he looks back at me and smiles because he knew what I was saying and I knew what he was saying. And we had a strong bond. And I just said to him, I remember at some point, you know, let me know if that ever changes and you have any questions. I'd be happy to help you out. And he says, you bet. So one day, I get the news that he's got some aggressive cancer. And I checked in with him, but he beats it because that's the kind of guy he was. And he was really doing well for a while. And then one day, out of the blue, I get a phone call from him. I remember where I was at and what I was doing when I got the call. And he says, I want to know if you can come see me. I go, sure, what's up? As my heart kind of skips a beat. He says, well, I'm at Barton. I got to check out here tomorrow. He said, but the cancer's back. And he says, the docs have told me to go home and get my affairs in order. I said, I'll be over first thing tomorrow. So when I got to the hospital, he's in the process of saying goodbye to several folks and the medical personnel. And again, like Janice, he was just one of these people that attracted people. In his room, one person after another kept walking through. And I waited patiently out in the hall for about an hour and a half. And of course, by the time I got into the room, he was very apologetic. I said, don't you worry about it. I said, final farewells, whatever. I'm glad, you know, to wait. So when I finally see him, I ask him, I said, what can I do for you? And he looks at me and he says, I don't want to believe that this is all there is. My eyebrows raise, and I look at him. And with as sincere a voice as I could say, and you got to mind you, this is the relationship the two of us shared. I said, so how's that science thing working out for you? And he just cracks up. He says, not very well, my friend. So he proceeds to share with me that he needs hope. And I told him, I says, you know what? You called the right guy. I'm a hope broker. So radical was his acceptance of Jesus Christ to save his soul, to guarantee him life eternity, forgiveness for sin. So radical was a guy who went from atheist to faith that he felt it worthwhile to write a letter about that decision, because he told me, as we had about 6 weeks after that initial meeting, he says, no one will believe you unless I write this down. And so he wrote it down. And his best friend read his account at his memorial a few weeks later. I tell you that story because in this life, as it was clear in Janice's life, none of us knows when the storms are going to blow or how they're going to blow. My friend was given the gift of 2 months to process. When that terrible storm a little over 2 weeks ago blew into Dave and Amber and Lacey's life, it happened without so much as a two-minute warning. The great and wise King Solomon, who wrote in Ecclesiastes, the same book that the birds took the song Turn, Turn, Turn from, Dave, I was there at that time too. He wrote these words and he says, it's a good thing to go to funerals. He says, in fact, he goes, it's better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a party. I mean, most of us go, well, say what? But he said, because one day everyone will die and the living should take this to heart. Janice's story will be my story, I promise you, in one way or another. I'm fond of telling people this all the time. We're all terminal. It's just a question of timing. So can we have hope? I heard Jim, Janice's brother, say, you want to see her again? I heard her classmates say, after Janice's involvement in helping her to get involved in BSF, that she'll see her again. That is the Christian message. That is the message of the entirety of the Bible, is that we have hope, that we do not have to die in despair, and that we do not have to die as one without hope, the Apostle Paul writes. There are very intelligent people that have asked the same question that my friend asked. When the humbling reality of death comes calling, is there more? You know, one of the most powerful miracles in the Bible, of course, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But just a week prior to that, just before he arrived in Jerusalem and all the stuff went down, which he knew was going to go down, he had a friend die. And he waited intentionally for his friend to die, and then he went to the town, Bethany, where he was at. His friend's name was Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha, who were grieved and upset that Jesus hadn't come sooner, because they knew with all the miracles he'd been doing that he could have saved the brother. But in this powerful picture that God gives us to tell us we don't have to walk through this life without hope, he walks to the grave of Lazarus, who'd been dead now 4 days. 4 days. In fact, when he says, remove the stone, the one sister says, Lord, if we do that, it will smell. John chapter 11, he records this event where Jesus stands and calls Lazarus out by name. And he walks out. This is why they say nearly 2 million people attended to Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They were just beyond themselves with what he was capable of doing. What's interesting about the Lazarus story is that he called his name, because I fully believe if he hadn't, if he had just said, rise, the entire cemetery would have emptied out. But I say this to you, and simply this, I know. Listen, I've lived long enough, and I've got friends from every stripe, from atheists to agnostics to you name it. I've been around it my whole life. I was it. In my life, I just want to tell you this. Solomon wasn't joking when he said, we're all going to die. The living should take this to heart. And all I want to tell you today is what Janice took into her heart, what many here that spoke today already have taken into their heart. Don't leave planet Earth without Jesus. God loves you. I know you hear that line. It sounds cliche. It's not. He cares about you. The story's real. He came for you. And I have this great hope that I'll see Janice again because of what the Bible teaches me. I've been working this now for over 30 years because it's the only message I've ever heard that makes sense in this world so that we don't have to die empty. I hope that that you can find that way to find Janice, to see her again, because heaven's going to be a great reunion. I can't wait. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for Janice's life. What an awesome testimony today from so many folks about the love that she possessed from all the way through her daughters, through her friends and family, to her husband, Dave. Thanks for letting us honor her, Father. I know, I love the yell, Dave, and the applause. I know Janice is honored by this today. Thank you that we had the opportunity to do this, Lord, that she knows from her vantage place. I pray and hope that we can all see her again one day. And I ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thanks so much for coming. We're going to give us a few minutes. We got plenty. Well, we got a lot of food. I don't know if we have enough for you guys. But no, I'm just teasing. We're going to clear that out and take time to greet the family if you would. God bless you.